can say is that these flicks look pretty lame. I'd like to take a peek, but there's no way. And all I can do is just sit and drink for two. My liver, it turns blue and it's in flame. It's in flame. I just want someone to say.
Welcome to Binge Views. My name is Jamal. I'm here with the great, the wonderful, the drinking Chad C.
That's right, man. No early morning this time.
That's right. Don't
spoil. Sound like a fucking zombie.
Don't spoil our recording habits, sir.
Oh, sorry.
It's a top secret.
It's normal recording time.
That, I don't know why I picked that one. Like, we had this big, did you listen to the BingeCast last week?
Oh, I did, yeah.
Okay, so we listened to every single new release sounder we had, and I thought, oh, it was the Blind Melon one that I wanted to play. That doesn't even say, does it even say new releases in there?
I don't know. I don't think it does, no.
Maybe that's why I picked it, because it was just so fucking random. Okay, well, that's okay. A little music to get us into the mood, as Ammon was getting really mad that we just start talking as soon as he presses play. He doesn't like to hear my voice immediately. And I don't blame him for that, do you?
I was texting Alex this week. It's super NPR law. It is very true. You were very NPR law. I like that.
This podcast, unlike other shows I do, they may think they have a point, but they don't. I could go on any fucking show on this network and they don't have a point. We'll end up talking about Star Wars at some point, okay? This one is straight to the point. Let's get these reviews out of the way. People want to listen to the reviews before they go or even make a decision whether they're going to go to see these movies. So we're going to get right to the point. Are you okay with that?
I'm okay if you're okay. This is your deal. So hey, I'm along for the ride.
I just, you know, I don't know. We do a 4-hour show here, a 3-hour show there, a 3-hour show there. I thought this one would be nice and tight. People fucking listen to it. I don't know what I'm doing. I've only been doing this for fucking 10 years, okay? Just relax, everybody.
Tight butthole. Let's do this.
All right. This week we got 3 brand new movies for you coming out in theaters. I want you to do them in random order. I don't like the order because that spoils it what the best movie is.
Yeah, right. I'm down for that. Yeah, let's mix it up.
So mix it up. I want just random order. I love your new rating system. It's awesome. We're going to stick with that. We got a new sounder. This is the new and improved Binge Views. And I'm
that's right.
NPR Law.
NPR Law and the new Binge Views. All right. So we got... God, I said again. Let's do... we're going to just jump right in. We got The Foreigner this week. We have Happy Death Day and Professor Marston and the Wonder Women.
Mm-hmm.
So... let's jump right into... let's do The Foreigner. Let's start with that one. There's no particular order here.
Okay.
This is directed by Martin Campbell, who's directed such classics as Casino Royale. It's pretty good. GoldenEye, you know, a couple Bond movies there. Reunited with Pierce Brosnan in this one.
Nice.
And then he's got some Vertical Limit in there. You know, Ammon's cup of tea.
Ooh,
and Green Lantern, Edge of Darkness.
Ooh.
So, this is Jackie Chan's return to American action. So, mm-hmm. Set up. Have you seen the trailer for this one?
I have, and I mentioned last week this was the one that I was most excited to hear about this week because it actually had a really good trailer, and I was interested in seeing Jackie Chan be a serious foreigner.
Yeah. So, he is a foreigner, and his daughter, this is in the trailer, so no spoilers,
mm-hmm.
his daughter ends up being blown up in a terrorist attack. She's murdered. Mm-hmm. And so this movie is him seeking justice and vengeance for his daughter being slain in those attacks.
I like this.
Pierce Brosnan is he's playing... they don't really go into detail what his character, like his official title, but he's a former IRA member, and he's kind of in a position of power now in London. And so Jackie Chan, kind of through his association with the IRA, is wanting the names of the people who did this attack, and he thinks that Pierce Brosnan has the connection to that. So yeah, it's this is a Jackie Chan. I mean, it's being marketed as a straight, like, just... Jackie Chan going straight action. And there's not as much of that as you would think in this movie.
Oh,
honestly.
Really? Okay. This Jackie Chan this is acting?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Is this Jackie Chan acting movie?
Not really, actually. The scenes he is acting are honestly not that great. He's not the strongest actor. I wouldn't say he's awful, but it's just, you know, it's Jackie Chan. And he's, this is more like actually like more of like a political thriller, more of like a thriller, just a thriller in general. Not they, like I said, they're marketing this as a straight, just full on Jackie Chan obviously. Return to action. And it's honestly not that at all. So,
well, okay. So is it, is there humor in this? Is it like, cause even Jackie Chan's action movies are funny.
Yeah, no, this is just very straightforward, non-comedy, no comedy at all. Yeah, it's just straight on political thriller with a little action mixed in.
You're describing like a Jack Ryan movie to me, basically. Does it feel like that?
Yeah, that's a pretty good comparison. Yeah, so, I mean, it's, what I gathered from the trailer was that this is going to be almost like a Taken ripoff.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, it's a little bit, you know, pulling from that. But in the end, yeah, it's like I said, it just goes back to that kind of political thriller. Pierce Brosnan's pretty good in this movie. He's playing a pretty straightforward, like I said, he's kind of a piston of power. And him and Jackie Chan play off each other pretty well in the scenes that they have together. What other questions you got for me? Roose Bolton is in this movie. Roose Bolton from Game of Thrones. Don't know his real name, but he's one of his Pierce Brosnan's henchmen in this movie.
Oh, really? Okay. The trailer, this is what I like about the trailer. They set up Jackie, like everyone knows, okay, so everyone seeing this trailer knows who Jackie Chan is. He's a pretty famous person. And everyone knows that he's a fucking, he'll kick your ass, right? But this trailer does a good job in setting up like he's just this fragile old man. And that's where I get where you're getting the Taken thing from. Because you get Liam Neeson and he's this older guy, but yet he's a complete badass. The setup that the trailer gives us, is that the feel of the movie? Is that Jackie Chan's this worn old man, but his history says otherwise, and he gets to unleash what, like, you know, his powers, per se, on everybody involved? Yeah? Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he comes from a past of... he's more like a special forces type agent.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got that training in the back, and yeah, there's some flashbacks in the movie that kind of show you kind of where he came from and why he's able to do the things he's able to do, you know, creating bombs and such like that. So yeah, I mean, in that vein, yes, very, you're pretty dead on with it.
Okay. Is there any Jackie Chan-esque action scenes by way of, okay, so Jackie Chan's fighting a dude, and there's a bucket there, and then he picks the bucket up, and he uses the bucket like 40 different ways to beat this guy up. Is that shit going on in this movie?
Not really, no. It's pretty straightforward, you know, just the fighty-fighty Jackie Chan, you know, kicking, punching, not a lot of objects and stuff in the room, but like I said, there's not as much as that you would think in this movie. I think, honestly, the trailer shows a lot of the action in this movie from Jackie Chan's perspective. The thing that got kind of old is that, I mean, he's in his 60s now at this point, and it definitely shows, which, I mean, they're kind of going for, you know, the older grizzled man, but his age is definitely showing in this. This is definitely not like a throwback Jackie Chan as he used to be. And then that's kind of a little distracting, honestly, because you're just like, oh, Jackie Chan is this old guy, and he's not what he once was. It kind of goes back to the Harrison Ford and Blade Runner last week.
Okay.
You know, these older guys reviving characters and, you know, showing back up on our movie theater screens.
I'm trying to nail down why this interests me so much. Now, you tell me, is this... Okay, so I think it's just that it's Jackie Chan being shown in a serious light. And now it interests me even more that you're saying that there's no fucking, oh, he found a fucking hockey stick and then he beats up 40 guys with a hockey stick. There's none of that shit going on, none of that tomfoolery. But if this, like, I wouldn't be as interested in this movie if it was fucking Bruce Willis or if it was Arnold. It would seem plain Jane to me. Is it still plain Jane, or does Jackie Chan lend enough to it to make it interesting?
Honestly, it's pretty plain Jane, dude. Like, it's this is a pretty forgettable movie. Like, it's, I mean, this isn't like my cup of tea per se. Like, I wasn't clamoring for a Jackie Chan action movie. But I mean, this isn't a bad movie by any means. Like, I did not come out of this like, God, why I wasted that 2 hours. But it's just kind of forgettable, honestly. Like, it, yeah, I mean, yeah, yeah. It's kind of hard to describe, but it's yeah, it's pretty plain Jane.
Damn it. Damn it. Okay. All right. Okay. Well, this has got a 7.5 on the International Movie Database. And that seems pretty good to me. That interests me even more. What do you give it?
I'm going to give this a stream it. So, stream it.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. I wouldn't honestly pay money in the theater to watch this movie. This is definitely a, you know, you're chilling at home on a Friday night, throw it on, you know, and that aspect. This is, like I said, this is definitely not a bad movie by any means. Like, you're not going to hate yourself for watching this. It's definitely, I mean, it's watchable for sure. And, you know, yeah, if you're into this kind of genre, then I think this will probably be right up your alley. But yeah, I honestly probably wouldn't watch this again, just based on, you know, me, per se, but yeah, it's fine. It's a fine movie. Like I said, it's kind of forgettable. There's some, like, Pierce Brosnan's pretty decent in it. And yeah, you know, it's yeah, it just kind of is what it is.
Will Ammon like this movie? But that really
a tough call, man.
That tells our audience, like, a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if he will like this movie. Ammon's so hit or miss. Some movies I think he will like, he fucking hates, and then some movies I think he will hate, he fucking loves. So yeah, it's kind of in the between there. I don't know. It's good. I don't know. Good question.
All right. Well, let's stream it from Chad C. And I think I'll do just that when it becomes allegedly available. All right. Great.
AMG.
What's next?
We're gonna go with Professor Marston and the Wonder Women. Let's do this.
Okay.
So I'm assuming you've probably not seen anything for this movie, right?
Absolutely not.
Okay, I figured as much. This is a pretty, it's not a super limited release. It's going to like 1,200 theaters, so it's fairly out there for people to see. This is this is directed by Angela Robinson. Her directing credits are the movie Debs, if you remember that, Jordana Brewster, early 2000s, and Herbie Fully Loaded. Okay. So that off the bat, you're probably like, oh, I'm never watching this. But this movie is the best movie that I saw this week for sure.
Wow.
So this is about Professor William Marston, who is the creator of Wonder Woman.
Okay.
And kind of a biopic based on, you know, how he came up with the character, what he did, you know, his relationship with his wife, and their lover, as well. And so kind of just, you know, the history of that, which I knew nothing about at all. I'm a decent comic book guy. I'm not a big DC comic guy, you know, I read them here and there, but I was never a big Wonder Woman fan. You know, I just never read that growing up, but this is pretty interesting movie, man. Like, I thought it was pretty good. The, just in general, the story itself is super interesting. The dude, he came up with like the lie detector test. And kind of just showing, you know, their history and that aspect alone, I dug a lot.
This guy that invented Wonder Woman invented the lie detector test?
Yeah, yeah. Yes, his name is William Marston. I had no clue. I mean, I knew absolutely nothing about this guy. So that alone, you know, the story itself, like, that's what I said, kind of drew me in. Because, I mean, myself too. I think I saw one trailer like a couple months ago, and I just kind of like shrugged it off. But then, yeah, this is definitely a pleasant surprise for sure.
Will comic book fans like this, or is it kind of like more of like you know, the history of his life and his trials and tribulations of what he did other than making Wonder Woman?
Yeah, no, yeah, it's his life up until Wonder Woman and a lot of what inspired Wonder Woman, and then kind of after. So there's a lot of flashbacks in this movie of like the child's kind of service agencies are kind of interviewing him and saying how inappropriate a lot of his comic is, because it's all this is like a very kinky comic booky movie. Mm. So it's his roots are kind of like, you know, in the BDSM world. He's a professor at Harvard, and so yeah, his stuff is kind of about domination, submission, and that. And so, like, I guess, like I said, I'd never read any of the early Wonder Woman comics, but a lot of that was in the early Wonder Woman comics. I'm sure Batch could probably, mm-hmm. you know, tell you much more about that.
Right.
As far as, like, yeah, we're tying up victims and, you know, getting information out of them. And so it kind of shows you why that was in his writing and what kind of drew him to that. Luke Evans plays Professor Marston. His wife is played by Rebecca Hall, and then their lover is played by Bella Heathcote, who's recently in The Neon Demon, a couple other movies. She's kind of on the up and up. The three performances of the three main leads they're really good though. They do a really good job. Which yeah, like I said, I knew nothing about this dude at all, and so their little polyamorous relationship between the three of them. That's kind of what this is derived from, and where Wonder Woman, I guess, came from. So,
is this the poster has? It looks like that Bella Heathcote dressed up as Wonder Woman and with the lassos uh-huh. and all that. Is that part of the movie, or is this all strictly like comic book? Like, why are they just playing off Wonder Woman right here to try to get some people to watch this movie, or is like?
This is. I mean, it's definitely playing off Wonder Woman because of obviously how well that movie did. Mm-hmm. So yeah, they're definitely going for that crowd. This is kind of, you know, the Wonder Woman. But yeah, no, that's the scene in the movie that she is dressed like that. It's kind of like a BDSM scene.
I was just gonna say, is it a sex scene? It's a sex scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's quite a few kinky little scenes in this one. There's a lot of tying up and. They don't show a lot of it. There's some nudity from Rebecca Hall on this, but it's like it's pretty quick. But yeah, they're like I said, this is the kinky comic book movie. There's it's derived from that.
If Wonder Woman has sex, you should lead with that, Chatsy. I'd be like, that's all you had to say, Negro. Like, I would go see Wonder Woman having sex in the threesome. Well,
I mean, there's no Wonder Woman having sex in the movie. It's she's kind of dressed up as it. Is this inspiration?
Are they saying this sex scene inspired like what Wonder Woman looks like? Come on,
is it? No, it's kind of hard to explain. He kind of gets involved. He sees this as he's teaching a theory known as disc theory in his Harvard class, mm-hmm. which is, you know, is like domination, submission, that type of. And so he kind of gets involved, and he finds this kind of it's like this dude on the street who sells these like sex devices and stuff like that. And so, yeah, he takes them to that. Because, I mean, he meets Bella Heathcote's character she's one of his students. And his wife is kind of like a teacher with him, you know, kind of like a teacher's aide. Mm-hmm. And so they find her and kind of, they all, you know, fall in love with each other, all three of them, which apparently is a totally real thing. So once, I guess, when the actual Professor Marston died, even the two females still were lovers, and they stayed together way after he was dead. So
what year does this take place?
This is very early. I mean, I think he died in 57. So yeah, this is pretty early on. Yeah. I mean, I think he was born in like late 1800s. So I mean, it's early 1900s. I mean, it's kind of like in 1940s, 1950s.
Okay.
So yeah. This is a pretty pleasant surprise, man. I hadn't seen much on this, and honestly, I'm gonna go ahead and drop this. I like this a lot more than I like fucking Wonder Woman. So yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and go there. I'm gonna do that.
What? Wow.
I was not a big Wonder Woman fan, dude. I think that movie was a being that it was like watchable was like a huge achievement for a fucking DC movie, but. Outside of that, I'll never watch that fucking movie again.
Jesus. All right. Well, this is gonna.
You were that big of a Wonder Woman fan? You liked Wonder Woman that much?
No, but I didn't love it that much. But you saying that this is better than Wonder Woman just kind of took me back. Is all.
Good. Good law. That's what I'm here to do. I'm here to take you back.
Exactly. I'm glad you surprise me every once in a while, sir. What 6.5?
Yeah, I mean, this is like I said. I'm not the biggest comic book guy. The movies get kind of old for me after a while, but. I dug this. I dig a biopic every now and then, and like I said, I knew nothing about this guy or nothing about it, so the story kind of drew me in alone, so I dug it.
6.5 on IMDb. What does this one get?
So, okay, so if we're going to go 8 through 10 to the scale to go to the theater to watch this,
yeah,
this is definitely not everyone's cup of tea. So I could see where people are not going to dig this. You know, it's not like an absolute. This is not something you have to see on the big screen. So I'm going to kind of compromise here, and I'm gonna say like a definitely see this movie, but I wouldn't say necessarily see it in the theater. So it's like a see it, but stream it. We're going there. I guess we're gonna muddy the lines a little bit.
Okay, I think you can. I think you can stick with see it because, to be honest, not a lot of people are going to be able to see us in the theater. So any way you can see it, right?
Yeah. Okay. So let's see it. So then see it. Yeah. Oh, you assholes with MoviePass out there, go fucking see it. It's like free for you. So go see it. Like I said, it's only in 1,200 theaters, so I don't know how well it is out there in the binge-verse land as far as people can see this, get to the theater. But I this is definitely worth a watch, especially if you know nothing about this like I did. I think you'll probably... It's interesting enough, for sure. So, yeah, I would say watch this.
There you go. See it. See it, you cocksuckers. All right. One more movie. This last movie now. I don't know. I was toying with trying to get some horror in for my Halloween, but I'm not hearing a lot of great things. How was Happy Death Day?
All right. So... this is another Blumhouse picture, which this movie was made for $4.8 million. It's going to quadruple that in the first weekend. So it's going to be seen as an absolutely raving success. It's going to fucking make buku, and it'll probably spawn a sequel and yada, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
But this movie for me, man, just fell flat. I was really, like you, man, I was really hoping for a campy, good, fun horror movie for the season. For me, this is just not it. It just doesn't know what it wants to be. Like, it plays, like, the opening, so this is from Universal, the opening scene, I mean, for those of you that don't know, this is kind of the horror version of a Groundhog Day. Even Jason Blum, he was on Bill Simmons' podcast this week, and he was talking about exactly how it is a horror Groundhog Day.
Mm-hmm.
And... yeah, it's the universe. The thing at the beginning is like a universe, like I said, showing the logo, and it kind of rewinds and flashes that a couple times, which I thought that was pretty fun. That was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then the movie starts. So I don't know, man. Like I said, it just takes itself too serious. Like, I just wanted something fun and something campy, and it just wasn't that. And I don't know. What question? This is from the director who did Paranormal Activity, The Marked Ones, which I never fucking saw that, because I watched two of those movies and I never watched any of them after that. I know you guys are bigger fans of some of them.
Mm-hmm.
And he did Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse last year as
well. Oh, that's not a bad movie.
2 years ago. I never saw that either.
That's not a bad little movie. All right.
Yeah.
You're saying it takes itself too seriously. Now, is that the main reason you don't like this movie? Like, what I'm saying is... Is it the plot of the film that you don't like? Or is it the acting of the film that you don't like? Is it cliches of the film you don't like? What exactly is it?
Yeah, so the main chick, her name is Jessica Roth. She was in La La Land as one of her friends.
Mm,
so she's... I know you're already loving it, right?
Mm-hmm.
She's actually not terrible. Like, she's probably one of the better parts of the movie. You don't hate her by any means. She's fine. It's just the... I don't know. Everything else is just not good. the cliches. It's hard to describe without spoiling it. It just gets pretty... You get the gist after, like, two or three of the scenes of, you know, it's happening over and over. And it telegraphs the killer super early on. Like, I picked up on it within, like, 10 minutes of the movie. Like, I was like, oh, that's probably going to be the killer. And then it was like, it was just like, okay, like I was pretty upset that I actually guessed it that quick. I don't know, man. I just wasn't digging this at all.
Is it scary at all? Like, is there?
No, there's not one fucking scene of anything being scary in this. This is very, very paint by numbers, like thriller. There's If you go to the theater and get scared by this, then you're a fucking pussy. How about that? I'll say that. Like, this is, I did not even fret. Like, nothing about this is terrifying or scary. No, like, literally nothing. The dude is in a fucking baby mask. Their mascot for the college is called the Bayfield Babies. That's kind of where the baby mask come from. It's their homecoming, so that's why the killer's wearing that baby mask in the trailer. Yeah, man, this movie's just not good. I just did not enjoy it at all, and I really wanted to. I love going to the theater and having a good horror movie to watch in the season at the theater. Unfortunately, this fucking falls short, and it's pretty disappointing.
That sucks, man. We finally get a Halloween. Well, not on Halloween, but I mean a horror movie, I guess, if it's, you know, the way it's marketing itself.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And we get it on a Friday the 13th that falls in October. This is prime real estate for any really good horror film, you know what I mean, to make a statement.
Oh yeah.
And like you said, this movie is going to make a statement. I guarantee. I can't believe they made it for under $6 million or whatever you said. That's fucking ridiculous. Yep. But yeah, the teens are going to fucking crowd the theater for this. It's going to make a ton of money. But it sucks that it was kind of wasted on something that sounds so generic. Oh, well. But
yep. Yeah, it's, man. It's weird, though. I will be very shocked. Yeah.
You're describing it as generic, and it just, from the trailers, it looks like something so fresh to the genre, not to the movies in general, but to the genre, you know what I mean? Because even Edge of Tomorrow had the exact same plot as this, almost.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is like, Edge of Tomorrow, Groundhog Day, everything, yep.
Oh.
Yeah, and the thing too, this is PG-13, so there's no blood, hardly. There's, he's going to stab the killer every day, and it just cutscene. There's jump scares. It just sucks, dude. It's not. Don't waste your time with this movie. Like it. Yeah, man. It's pretty frustrating. But like I said, it's gonna. Yeah, I mean, this is supposed to be number one this weekend. It's probably gonna make upwards of 20 million, which will be quadrupling its fucking budget, and they'll be super successful, and Blumhouse will just keep making all their fucking movies, because Blumhouse is just rolling in everything. The horror genre, they know, they've cornered that market, and they know what to do, so
yeah.
I mean, they're doing something right.
Yeah, well, they picked a good release date, I'll tell you that. They're gonna make a ton of bucks because of it. Alright, so this is let's make it official, this is 6.3 on IMDb, seems high, but what are you gonna tell us to do here?
This is a definite skip it for me, for sure. I just wouldn't recommend it, man. It's just not good. I just did not enjoy this, and I really wanted to. I can get behind a good horror movie, you know, and this just wasn't it at all for me. It just felt very flat. But like I said, the main chick, she's pretty decent. She's not bad by any means, but you telegraphed the killer that quick for me, and it just doesn't know what it wants to be, so fuck this movie.
Well, look at you. Three movies. You covered all bases. We had to see it. We had to stream it, and we had to skip it. This is incredible.
Damn right.
You are an incredible reviewer. Right now, no one could ever do that. No.
Jimmy O would just love them all, right?
He would just be like, see everything twice. But not you, sir. You spread yourself out, and that's good. That's good. I like that.
Right, I like to spread myself for the Bingeverse. Them wide open. Not okay, our
guy, though. All right. What do we have next week, sir?
All right, so yeah, we're gonna have to talk about this because there's five movies that come out next week. Not all of them in wide release, so we'll see. There's The Snowman coming out next week. There is Only the Brave, which is based off the Granite Mountain Hotshots. Tyler Perry's Boo 2,
Via
Halloween, which I you're gonna fork up the money to make me watch that. what do we got? Geostorm next week, and then there's a movie called Same Kind of Different as Me. So there's five titles next week. So we'll have to discuss off air maybe what you want me to review for the podcast. So
all right, we'll see. Putting in extra work for you. That's fine. Okay. Yep. All right. Next week, we'll be back with 37 movies in a row. And Chad C. will review all of them. And I'm not paying him a fucking dime. How about that, everyone?
Suck my dick.
All right. Let's get out of here. Thanks for listening. Hope you liked our new sanda. And everything else that we did tonight. Goodbye.
See ya.